series on the armor. We're going to go through a season on Wednesday night that we're going to, the body's going to have the opportunity to hear from our lay ministers. We may have to have a little buffer in between there to get that lined out. And before we enter into our next Bible study series, we got a lot of great things going to happen here. If you'll take avail yourself the opportunity, a few weeks we got the choir coming, we've got the Martin family coming, we've got the convention with James Snow and Brother Huff, and pardon me, and just a lot of things are coming up. And that's all before youth camps, and then we have youth camps. These years go quickly, don't they? Amen. Isn't serving the Lord the best life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People give so little to the Lord. That's today. That's why I like to see this crowd on Wednesday night. It shows your dedication. It really does. I don't have a chart where I put a gold star by your name or anything, but I tell you what, the Lord notices. How many thinks the Lord takes note? He sure does. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to allow you to remain seated. Again, this is our, I'm always a little sad to close the series out because our hearts and our thoughts have been on that. We are in a warfare. How many found that out this week so far? We're in a warfare. Hallelujah. Praise God. The only one the enemy leaves alone is his allies. Praise God. Let's read, and I'll read if you please follow with me. Very powerful scriptures. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's this last verse that we're going to look at this evening. It was this verse that, as I was praying, brought me to this whole series. I think there's anything the church and Christians need in the day and age we live in, it's found in attempting to fulfill this verse in our life, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pause for prayer. Father, thank you for the people of God. This shut us up in here, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that inspired Paul to speak these words and write these words, may that Spirit stir in our hearts tonight. Oh God, that we'll pray until heaven is moved, and we'll pray until the battle is won, and we'll pray till we have overcome the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about what's underneath the armor. We can talk about the armor, but we're going to talk about the heart of the soldier underneath the armor. I'm telling you, a lot of times what's underneath the armor is more important than the armor. You may talk about the heart that's protected by all this armor. What makes the soldier is the heart that beats underneath the armor. I'm not just talking about the heart in the biological life, but in the spirit of the soldier. Do you have the spirit of a fighter tonight? Or you just got the spirit, I'm just going to lie down and let the enemy run over me? We ought to have the spirit of the fighter. And what makes the heart of the soldier is prayer. That's how we have the spirit of the fighter. We pray. Amen. We get discouraged. We get on a route if we haven't been praying. We grow weak in our spirit. But when we pray, we have the heart of the soldier. Prayer for centuries. Before battle, prayer was a common practice, even for those with false gods, the Greeks or Romans. Before they went to battle, they had their sacrifices. They called upon their false gods. Now, I don't know, this looks like a medieval army, but here we have a whole army going to prayer before the battle. I know here's another individual, maybe more modern, about to go into battle, a soldier. He's going to pray before he goes into battle. I'm telling you, if it's true on a natural level, we need to pray before we go into the battle. Amen? Amen. One of my men I admire, I know he was on the South, but does anyone know who this is? Do you recognize him? That's right. I heard some of you. Stonewall Jackson, military genius. He was really secretive about his battle plans, even as a major general. In fact, it got his staff very upset because even his senior staff wouldn't know what his next plan was in battle. He kept it to himself. He'd march them here, march them there, and never reveal even to his senior staff what his plans were. And that got to them. But one of his staff noticed something. He looked backward and was able to deduce this. He noticed that if Jackson had major action planned the next day, Jackson would spend long periods of time in prayer the night before. And so they began to be able to tell when the battle was in the offing, because the Major General Jackson would go to the Lord and he would pray way into the night. Well, I'm telling you, I think knowing we have a battle on our hands, I think we ought to go to prayer before we go to battle. You see, the truth of the matter is some folks are trying to fight Satan without going to prayer. But I'm telling you, we need to pray. Can you say amen? Part of an old poem said, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Amen. We may lack experience. We may lack Bible knowledge. And it's good to get all of that. But I'm telling you, whether you're one of these young men, young ladies, or the one of the older ones of us, amen, our strength is when we pray. That prepares us for the battle. Amen. First of all, in this verse, I want to look at the why of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Amen. One is to stand. That's what Paul tells us. He says, stand. One is to be strong in the Lord. That's what Paul tells us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. One is to take the armor God provides. Paul says, take unto you the whole armor of God. We are to stand. We are to be strong in the Lord. We're to take the armor that He provides. But Paul concludes with this verse about prayer, because unless one prays, he will not survive the battle. Now, I know that's just a statement. It's written on the wall, and I just said it, and it's one of those things that we know, and so we can hear it and say, yes, it's right, and not reflect upon it. But I want to tell you, that statement is true. Unless we pray, we will not survive the battle. We will be a casualty. But with prayer, we will be victorious. The overarching necessity of the Christian soldier is prayer. Stand, yes. Be strong in the Lord, yes. Take the armor, yes. But the overarching necessity is pray. Pray when you put on the helmet of salvation. Pray when you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Pray when you take up the shield of faith. Pray when you gird about your loins with truth. Pray when you take the sword of the Spirit. Overarching is prayer. What makes one a real soldier is the eternal state of his heart and his mind. He can have the best of armor, but it's inside. Only prayer can prepare our heart and our mind to be conditioned to face the battles we must face. Listen, face. The battle seems overwhelming unless we're coming out of the prayer closet. I got one fella, you know, he got through praying. He said, I feel like I could charge hell with a water pistol. Well, I've never quite felt that much bravado, but I'm telling you what, hey man, if you've come from a closet of prayer, you feel like I can fight the battle. One can have the strength. One can have the armor. One can have the weaponry. But if he does not want to fight, if he does not believe he can win, if he does not believe in what he's fighting for, if he does not have the courage, if he does not have the perseverance, he'll still lose. Best of armor, best of weaponry, but unless in his heart he's got the courage and the will and the desire and the belief he's going to win, he's not going to win. I don't know how many of you have read Tolstoy's War and Peace. And it accounts when the French invaded Russia. But in one of those first battles, in reflection, one of the officers was speaking and he said, you know, when we fought the French, our army was larger. And the day of the battle, we had the good ground. We were holding our own. We could have been victorious. But he said, what happened? It wasn't numbers, it wasn't our weaponry, our arsenal, but he said what happened was in the midst of the battle, we began to think that we were going to lose because this was Napoleon, he was on the march, and in the middle of the battle, we began to feel like we were going to lose, so we lost. You know, I believe there's a lot of Christians like that. They begin to feel like they're going to lose, so they lose. But I'm telling you, if you'll go to a place of prayer, you won't come out of there feeling like you're going to lose. You'll come out of there knowing you're going to win. It's the heart of the believer. I've read a lot about the Civil War and over the federal army, that's the Northern Army. Amen. They would have easily been able to march forward and advance and destroy the Confederate Army. But the first generals that they had before they got Grant in there kept feeling like they were outnumbered and kept feeling like they were going to be defeated. And so they were when they could have won. How many thinks it's time to quit feeling like we're going to be defeated and pray until we know we're going to have the victory? Praying with all prayer. The why of prayer. It is prayer that gives us the desire to fight. You haven't been praying, you don't feel like fighting the evil. You may feel like embracing it. It's prayer that gives us the desire to fight. It's prayer that gives us the belief we will win. It's prayer that gives us the urgency for what we fight. It's prayer that gives us the courage to fight. It's prayer that inserts God into the battle and makes the battle His. Hallelujah. Oh, I just read that just a few days ago. David went out and said, when he faced Goliath, he said, the battle is the Lord's. And that's what prayer. You know, before we pray, we feel like it's all up to us. But when we pray, all of a sudden, we realize the battle is the Lord's. You know, I've heard folks say this, I'm just tired of fighting. You ever heard someone say that? I'm just tired of fighting. Sometimes it's a relationship thing in the family. Sometimes it's something at work. But I'm telling you, often it's in spiritual things, in church relations, in battle with the inner. And I hear a person say, I'm just tired of fighting. I want you to know, I understand that feeling. Any believer that tells you they don't understand that believer isn't a serious believer. But I'm telling you, that's the most dangerous position to be in when you have to confess you're just tired of fighting. We get that way. That's why prayer is necessary. When we really attend to prayer, all of a sudden we're not tired of fighting anymore. We're ready to stand up and face our enemy once again. If you're tired of fighting tonight, listen to me. If you're tired of fighting tonight, get along with God. Let Him give you the strength. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to talk, or Paul talks literally, the how of prayer. How are we to pray? And I've kept the verse right at the top here so we can continue to look at it. But first of all, Paul says, praying always. Now that doesn't really mean praying all the time. Though that's fine, pray without ceasing. But here it literally means pray at all kinds of time. Literally it means praying at every occasion, praying whatever the occasion. Anytime, whatever you're facing, whatever event that it is, whatever decision you have to make, whatever purchase you're about to make, about things about the church, pray at church, pray at home, pray in the car. Pray, keep your eyes open, but pray in the car, pray at school. In fact, they never really got prayer out of school. As long as they have exams, they're going to have prayer in school. But pray at all types of occasions. And then Paul says, praying with all prayer. I'm not going to bore you, but this was a wonderful thing in the Hebrew mind. We don't really have the same thing, but if they really wanted to intensify something, they would use the verb and the noun. In fact, when it says Elijah prayed fervently, it literally says he prayed a prayer. That's the way they did it. I mean, you know, we can hit, but if the Hebrews want to talk about really hitting, they'd say he hit with the hit. he stabbed with the stab. Pray with prayer means just get with it. Really pray. But notice what he says here. Pray with all prayer. That means with all kinds of prayer. And we're not going to elaborate much on this, but it means pray in public. But pray in private. All prayer. Pray verbally. Pray out loud. Pray silently. Pray on your knees. But you can pray during your activities. Pray with a form. What do you mean? Well, pray the Psalms. Or maybe you've even got a prayer that you memorize. You like to pray. Pray with a form. But pray extemporaneously. Pray with a list. That's okay. Have a prayer list. Work your way through the list. Pray with the list. But pray on impulse too. God, the Spirit, move something in your heart. Pray with all kinds of prayer. Pray with a praise. Pray with a petition. All kinds of prayer. That's how we are to pray. And then he says, praying with all prayer and supplication. What's supplication? That's a specific kind of praying. It's a petition. The terminology we use today is request. We take prayer request. To use a Bible a word, I would say, now we're going to take your prayer supplication tonight. Does anyone have a supplication? We use a different word. We use request. But Paul says when we pray, make our request known to God. Amen. You know, some people want to think we get so spiritual we don't have to ask God for anything. Well, you might have a problem if you're just asking Him to win the lottery and for $1 million and you're asking for all these material things. But, I mean, there's a lot of things we need to petition the Lord for. We need to supplicate. And that brings the imagery of a subject coming into a king and supplicating before him. How else does he tell us to pray? Praying always. Pray with all prayer. Praying with all supplication. But he says praying in the Spirit. Pray by the impulse of the Spirit. Pray by the leading of the Spirit. Pray by the enablement of the Spirit. Pray by the power of the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Amen. I think all of us, and especially Pentecostals, we know what it is just to be saying prayers, and that's all right. We know it is just to be praying, but we also know what it's like when the Holy Ghost begins to pray through us. How many just really desires that experience afresh when you can tell you're praying by the impulse of the Holy Ghost? In fact, Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Oh God, give us Holy Ghost prayer again around the altars and in the prayer room and in our closet of prayer at home. Not just praying, but praying until the Holy Ghost is praying as the impulse through us. Amen. Tonight, ask yourself, how long has it been since I prayed in the Spirit, moved by the Spirit? He's telling us how to pray. And then he tells us the what with prayer. What do we add with prayer? He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. Jesus says in the gospel to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. The word watch literally means, comes from the root, to be sleepless. And so we get the idea, stay awake. Be alert. I've told you before, but I can still see old Brother Rout. He'd kneel down at the altar before service, and he'd be looking through his fingers. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. And he'd tell us he's watching and praying. Well, that's not exactly what Paul was having in mind, trying to see what's going on, you know, as you pray. But an alertness. Why? Because we're in a battle. Alert to what's trying to enter into your life. Alert to what's trying to come into your family. Alert to what the enemy's trying to do in the church and do with your life. You know, I was talking to someone just recently. I can't remember just whom, but I said, you know, it just boils down to this when you're facing this decision. What would Satan have you do? And what would God have you do? And just to be alert to see when the enemy is trying to come into our lives. So pray with watching. The urgency of prayer is fed by the alertness to the danger that reveals the need for prayer. In other words, I kind of muddled that, but what I'm saying is, if you're watchful, if you look out and see what's going on, that gives you an urgency that fuels your prayer. Man, if you just look what's in the news, you think, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. He says, pray, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance, persistency. Refusing to give up praying. You will lose the battle if you quit praying. It's that simple. In our Christian life, you will lose the battle if you quit praying. It doesn't matter if you're one of these young people or one of these older people like myself. If you quit praying, you're going to lose the battle. I want to tell you, never quit praying. When things are hard, never quit praying. When your heart is burdened, never quit praying. When you're confused, never quit praying. When you've been done wrong, never quit praying. When you don't know which way to turn, never quit praying. Praying always with all perseverance. Never quit praying, even if it appears you're losing the battle. And I put the word appear there because if you're praying, it only appears you're losing. Because if you're really praying, you're going to win. Well, hallelujah. Last of all tonight, the whom of prayer. Whom are we to pray for? Well, if you'll notice, there's two supplications here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The first supplication is for yourself. Pray for your needs, the needs of your family, your concerns. The second supplication is for all saints. Praying with all supplication for all saints. First supplication may be for ourselves, but the second is for other believers. Why do we need to pray for others? Well, first of all, and there's more reasons than this. But first of all, they may not see the need to pray for themselves. I'm just going to pull an illustration out of the air. But I've seen people that it is evident. It's evident they're straying from the Lord. It's evident they're growing cold in their soul. It's evident they're being involved in things that's sapping the spiritual life out of them. And they don't see it. And so they're not praying about it. We need to pray for those who do not see the need to pray for themselves. Lost loved ones, they don't see a need to pray. We need to pray. Supplication. We need to pray for others because they may be involved in a desperate temptation. I'm telling you, it is impossible to lust and believe God at the same time. And when some folks are involved in an awful temptation, they are totally incapable of praying until they make some decisions there. I'm telling you, have you ever seen someone in a desperate temptation? Don't sit back just ready to say, well, that was dumb of them. Start praying for them. God, help them to overcome the evil. Keep them from that mistake. We need to pray for others because they may be suffering an awful trial. How many's ever been just too sick to pray? Yes, sir. How many's ever been too hurt to pray? Too numb. Just too numb to pray. Aren't you glad there's others that'll pray? Does it really help to pray, or should we just forget it? I want to tell you, the thing about prayer is it's not just a cathartic, it's not just a therapeutic thing where you release your emotions if you pray. Prayer is talking to God, who responds with an answer. Amen. We need to pray for others. They may be weak and discouraged and dismayed. We need to pray for others. Why? We'll need others to pray for us. If there's anything I've learned in life, it's the principle Paul sets forth: whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we like to leave that in the bad category, but it's in the good category too. You sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap. If you sow the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. But you do reap what you sow. And I have found that if you'll be one to pray for other folks, when you need it, somebody's going to be praying for you. It'll come back to you. How many's found that? It'll come back. You say, I don't ever pray for anybody. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to get in a situation and no one may be praying for you. So we pray for others because we're going to need others to pray for us. And here's another thing. Nothing will add fervency and faith to all of your prayers like selflessly praying for the needs of others. Have you ever wondered why your prayers are just stuck in a rut? Don't feel anything. Not get anywhere. Try praying for other folks. Just get your mind off your own troubles and your own needs and begin to pray for others, and something will come and begin to stir in your heart. Pray, supplication for all saints, not just for those you like. Hallelujah. Jesus said we ought to have a few enemies on our prayer list. Isn't that what he said? Well, hallelujah. I won't go anywhere there. Don't just pray for those you're close to or that are kin to you. But he said pray for, say it with me, pray for all saints. Oh God, help everybody. Is that what he meant? Got that in. Pray for those you feel are hopeless. Don't say any names out loud. But how many know someone you just pretty much, they're a hopeless case. I didn't say that right. You can think of someone, right? Pray for them. Pray for all. Pray for those you feel deserve what they got. You know that, I don't have time to go there, but that's in all of our hearts. Man, if they had it coming, serves them right. We get real spiritual, don't we? Aren't you glad God don't do that with us? Serves them right. Let them suffer a bit. Pray for those you feel deserve what they got. Pray for those who make it difficult for you. You ever had a boss you had to pray for? Does anyone here have somebody in mind that makes it difficult for you? Okay. Does anyone here have a problem with honesty? Pray for them. Those who are hard to love. Hallelujah. One of my seminary professors, I won't tell you the whole story, but he said a new convert, they was taking prayer requests. He looked around, he said, this is pretty neat. And when it came his turn, and I won't share the whole story, but it came his turn. He's new to this. He just stood up and looked up and said, yeah, he said, pray for me. See that brother over there? I can't stand him. That was his prayer request. Pray for those who are hard to love. Have you ever heard this expression nowadays, I got your back? We need to have each other's back. We need to pray for each other. Don't you think it's great to go through the rest of the week knowing that your brothers and sisters are praying for you? I mean, this is a good way to fight. Protecting one another. Praise the name of the Lord. To stop praying is to stop winning the battle. Oh, I hope through this series we've got a renewed desire to fight and to win. No spiritual battle is ever won without prayer. So we close the series tonight. One of my favorite stories you've heard me tell through the year is when over in Africa, when some of those jungle-bound tribes begin to get saved. As is true with Christians, the people of the village got a desire to get alone with God and to pray. So not long after they got saved, they would begin to march their way, cut their way into the jungle. And from the village, there'd be just all kinds of trails in every direction into the jungle where people would leave the village. And they would travel a trail into, cut a trail into the jungle and find a place alone to pray. And after they got it cut, because they were hungry for God, they'd visit it every day. And just walking that trail every day would keep the vegetation worn off it. But you know, things grow quickly in the jungle. If somebody quit their consistent daily prayer time, the vegetation would immediately begin to grow back over the trail. And they had a way of expressing concern for their brother or sister. If they noticed that, if a man noticed his neighbor's trail out into the jungle, the vegetation had begun to grow, he would simply go to him and he'd say, "Brother, the grass grows on your trail. The grass grows on your trail. The grass grows." How's your trail tonight? Is it well beaten? Where you go to the Lord? Don't ever give up. Don't ever concede surrender to the enemy. Pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all prayer, perseverance for all saints. Let's stand. Music, would you come? Father, thank you for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to overcome the wicked one. Thank you, Lord, that truly Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. Help us to pray. Help us to pray. Help us to win the battle. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel, church, but I don't want to see even one more casualty, spiritual casualty. I just want to ask you, heads are bowed all over the building. God loves you tonight. I want to see you win the battle. And I want to leave you with those simple words of that illustration. Does the grass grow on your path? Do you have the relationship with God that you one time had when you knew Satan was being defeated in your life? Or is Satan sitting back and laughing as he's destroying your life? And without prayer in your life, you don't even have the perception to see it, to recognize it. Just stand up to Satan. Put on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. And pray, and pray, and pray. And the battle will be the Lord's. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God, which causeth us always to triumph through Christ our Lord. Oh, if you feel like praying, won't you begin to fill these altars? Say, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray." Would you come fill these up? I'm going to pray always. I'm going to pray and watch. I'm going to pray and supplicate. I'm going to pray with perseverance. I'm going to pray for all saints. Hallelujah.